All right. Well, let's get started by opening a prayer. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful morning, Lord. And we just thank you for your word. And I just pray that scripture this morning will just encourage us and equip us, Lord, for what you've called us to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now I'm getting... Okay. This week, and a couple weeks now, I've been thinking about some... I keep hearing the word calling. Calling. And I thought, calling, what are we called to do as Christians, as believers? And I'm going to do most of my text out of, to start with, in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 21. And if you look at the word calling in the dictionary in the back, it says divine summons to designate a name, an occupation, or vocation. So I'm thinking, what is our calling that God calls us to do? And I feel it's important. And I always tend to teach on things that God's convicting me of. So 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 21. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Excuse me. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So there's a lot there. And if we look at it and break it down a little bit, we're talking about Paul talking to the Corinthians. And of course, there was false teachings going around about the resurrection. And he wrote couple letters before disciplining them, but his authority was challenged. But he was trying to tell them that his motives are pure, and as Christians our motives need to be pure, and we need to reach the world. So this title is calling, but we are given the ministry of reconciliation. And excuse me, so if we look at verse, we break it down, Paul was sharing that the heart motives were sincere and to honor God. Verse 14 talks about, for Christ's love compels us. Christ's love should be what compels us to want to reach the world around us. And it should be because it's motivated by love and because we were given much forgiveness and we need to reach out to the world. And in verse 15, we should also not love ourselves anymore, but for Christ who died for us. That has all of a sudden changed, because it says, and he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So I'm thinking of we are called as the to the ministry of reconciliation. But notice in verse 20, we are Christ's ambassadors. An ambassador is a high calling. It's to be a very serious calling. And so we as Christians should be an ambassador for Christ and represent him in a good way. When we are given a great commission, we see in Matthew 28, to go out into all the world, into all the nation, make disciples, baptizing them in the Father, Spirit, and in Jesus, and you know, making disciples of all men. So, what is our purpose in life then? to spread the gospel and reach out to the lost, right? So we are to make disciples, as like the Great Commission says, and be Christ's ambassadors. The world is hurting, so we know that. We're hurting. A lot of people are hurting. There's anger in the world. There's violence in the world. People are turning to all kinds of things, drugs, alcohol, all kind of things that are really just making the problem worse. And instead of turning to those things, I think we should be lifting out the hope of Christ to those people, because that is the ultimate answer. I feel like I'm, yeah, maybe it's my sweater. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, then anyway. So we're to be a light in the world, in the light, in the dark world. So we have to be that light, even though we are dealing with struggles too in the dark world. Because just because we're Christians don't mean we're not struggling. So, but what is our response that others are seeing us when we're in a having struggles? That's what people see. So the world is watching to see how, number one, how we respond to life and trials. Are we showing hope? That sun is really hitting me. Are we showing hope and something other to offer? And are we still believing in God's sovereignty through it all? And that's how people are going to see us, how we are going to respond. They're also watching to see how we treat others inside the church and outside of the church. Like we talked about.
Yeah, it says that we're not living unto ourselves. Mm. It's kind of like in our society, everybody, you know, if there is no God, then we are God.
Right.
And so we live unto ourselves, and we can do anything and go anywhere and say whatever, as long as we can lift this person to a station that we think is best.
Right. Keep speaking.
then with Christ in our life, then we go back to we're not living our lives to ourselves, so therefore we have the strength of God with us, the protection of God going before us, because this is no longer my life, but God's life.
Right.
So now I'm not living to get for me, I'm living so that people will be attracted to Christ. So all the giftings that I have now have a purpose, and they're to be used to build and everything we do that builds the kingdom of God becomes what happens in our lives.
Yes.
So
yes.
So we often stop with don't live unto yourself. That comes to a, well, you shouldn't do this and shouldn't do that and you're no good and you become a doormat. But
no.
It isn't that we're living unto our own kingdom. We're living unto the kingdom of God.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a new thing because we're a new creation and we're now run into the kingdom. Yeah, so when people are watching us, that we need to set that example of who we are lifting up. We're not lifting up ourselves. Everything should be pointing to Jesus and what he did for us. And another point is to see if we're walking the talk. If we are walking the talk that we confess as Christians, then people will see that in our actions and in how we respond and how we treat others, how we live our lives, and it should be consistent. It shouldn't be one way on Sunday and another way on Monday and the rest of the week. So people are really seeing that.
And most people we come in contact with in church, for example, when we go outside the church, our actions.
Yeah. Yes, because we can go out and preach, but those words won't mean anything if we're not actually walking what we're preaching and teaching. Another scripture that I wanted to read as we want to go there is 1 Timothy 4. Chapter 4, verse 11 through 16. Now, Paul's talking to Timothy, and of course, we know he was a young apostle or teacher to the, he was telling them not to despise his youth and be able to teach and lead. But we are to be leaders too. And if we read that, it says, command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity. Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when a body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters and give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress and watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So those are the things that we break it down. We're supposed to set an example, teaching and mentoring others and be an example all around in our speech. Number one, he says be... in our speech is one, and in our conduct is another. In true faith, it will transform our conduct and our thoughts. So our conduct is important among each other and outside the church. And I'm losing my place here. Let's see here. Okay, yes. That was in verse 12b, part of that, half of that. For the believers in speech, in conduct, and in love, displaying love for one another, in faith is another one, and purity. So all these things are good examples that we need to set for others. And it also goes on to say we need to devote ourselves to the word and teaching. Not just read it on Sunday with the pastor. And then don't read our Bibles all week because we had enough church. No, it's important to get into Word and understand what it means so that we can live a life worthy of the calling in Ephesians 4:1 that I brought up last week. To live a life worthy of the calling, we need to be in the Word and understand what it is for us to be doing and growing. And operating on our gifts, it says here, says, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift. We all have those gifts, as you mentioned, and that's part of the things that we need to use and operate in. God's given them us for a reason, not to just hide them away like the talents of, you know, that when the master came back, what did you do with the talents? You know, hide them. We're supposed to be using them and use them for his kingdom. And also it says here, guard yourselves against things leading to sin there. So we have to be very careful of how, we have to really watch because the enemy likes to use little false teachings or, well, did it really say that? You could still do, you know, whatever. We got to really be careful and keep our doctrines true, right? Because we got to know what we believe and believe them as truth. Because there's a lot of false teaching that can go wrong there. So I'm thinking, here's a list of things that I've come up with that I feel, now remember, I'm just saying this because God's convicting me. So I use this as a baseboard to help maybe share. Because I think that we as Christians, myself included, because I shy away from sharing the gospel a lot of times. And I can call them what they are, but they are sometimes, they're just excuses that that we use. So I'm going to list them for you. Number one, we think we don't have enough knowledge. Well, I can't share the gospel because I don't know enough. But, like he says here, if we get into the Word, devote ourselves to the study of the Word, we will understand. But God still can use us, even when we don't have a lot of knowledge. He'll use our experience a lot more than if we're willing. When I was first saved, I didn't know a lot, but I sure knew that I was just like, I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. Jesus saved me, and I'm a sinner. That was like all I knew, but I was excited to share it. And I think that's when we are most excited to share it, because we're understanding the real love of Christ when we first get saved. I think it's just that ultimate wow moment. And sometimes after a while, we get a little familiar and comfortable with that knowledge of knowing that he saved us and what we didn't earn. And so we come into a complacency sometimes, and I think we all can get in that little bit of a rut. We should be sharing what we have. So what you can do is share what you have experienced. What has God done for you? What happened in your life that made you, you know? And a lot of times just use like, well, you know, I can use an example like, well, I was such a negative, pessimistic person in my life. I was worrisome all the time and anxious and making myself sick about life. And God has given me a new perspective of eternal and a new life of what to look forward to, a hope. And even that statement can make someone want more. So that's number one. Number two, we're not transformed enough. I say, well, I'm not transformed enough. I'm still not good enough. I still have some things in my life. I need to get them together before I can share the gospel. Well, we still may have bad habits, things that we haven't left go of. But you know what? If you look in history, there's a lot of people that God still used that had a lot of bad things that haven't been transformed yet. Cliff, did you have something to say on that? Oh, okay. I thought you were going to. Any thoughts on that? That's true. He needs availability, not. Yes. So we haven't reached the perfection of never sinning. We just have to realize that, yes, I may still do things that are wrong, but I'm still striving, that's our word, striving to mature in Christ and have his transformation take place in my life. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Sometimes people are more relatable to you when they understand that, yes, I'm not perfect, but this is what I have. This is what God's doing in my life right now. Instead of trying to be spiritual and religious and all-knowing, and I think people are more relatable to you just being you and seeing what you have changed, how you have changed. And if they don't know you well, you can show them and share with them what has changed in your life. It's fake. We don't need to be a church going out and having this air of the Pharisees. Well, we know exactly. People are sometimes more put off with that. They want to know that, yes, I struggle. I struggle with things. God's still dealing and showing me the way, but I'm just so glad that he's in my life, you know? It's simple stuff like that. Number three. We may have shame or guilt feelings in our life. And that keeps us from sharing what God has done or is doing in our life. And we think that we're not worthy. Well, I'm not worthy, but God has called us worthy. He has called us his beloved, his child. He's made us new. We are worthy. Not to be arrogant about it, but yeah. Okay, don't look at yourself as not worthy. You are worthy and you have a high calling. We all do. Okay, number four, fear. Fear will keep us from sharing the gospel. What is the fear from, of, or whatever? Fear of losing control.
Fear of what others will say
or do. Rejection. Yes, fear. Yes, because that fear ties in with all these. Mm-hmm. If you're afraid that you don't know enough, the fear is going to keep you from sharing whatever. I have a fear of speaking in front of people. Can you tell? But you know what? God can help us through it. And that's the good thing. With Christ, we can do all things, right? So we are not going to let fear keep us from, you know, I would rather, and this is my conviction. I'm not saying, I'm just saying for me, I'm tired of being afraid to say things that I need to say. Because who am I missing that needs to hear something that day or that time that I'm not going to say, and when I have to give an account to God, I dread to think of the thoughts, that, you know, I don't want to have to feel that I should have done this and I didn't. So I need to override that fear. I have to have a fear of God, a reverential fear of God, more than having a fear of man. Number five. We may have a hardened, judgmental heart. I think of Jonah. God called him Nineveh and goes, no, they're rotten people. I'm not going, I don't want to save them. They deserve it. They're evil. But you know what? I can be a Jonah sometimes. You know what? I don't want to talk to them. They deserve it. They did this. This is horrible. Well, what sin is more horrible than the other? Sin is sin. No. My sinful heart is just as bad as someone who murders. And but we can sometimes get caught up in that if we're really being honest with ourselves. I will reach out to people that I feel for or I can relate to, but I don't know if I want to go into maybe a prison ministry or something like that, because I have a judgmental heart, and that's not what God wants. There's many good prison ministries that are bringing people to salvation and repentance. What's that? No. Right. So we are all called to the ministry of reconciliation and as ambassadors of Christ with the Great Commission, but there's different aspects of it.
If we're stubborn and running from God, he can always help us go swimming.
Yes, exactly right.
Jonah.
He will bring you back around. Let's do it the better way. Let's not do it the smelly way, right?
Stay out of the crib.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes, are we a Jonah? Number six, we prejudge and assume that they won't respond. Who gives us the right to assume that someone's not going to respond? How do we know that the seed hasn't been planted and we're the waterer? Go ahead, Vasquez. I thought you were going to say something.
Well, prejudge is prejudice.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Prejudge is prejudice. We already favoritism and not.
We already determined that they're not worth the effort.
Right.
And, you throw the seed and some lands on the good and some lands on the path. And God will determine. So,
that's right. Yeah. And we have to still throw the seed out. Right.
You know, setting here, but there is fruit in their lives that's for the kingdom of God.
Right. And Cliff, you were going to say something.
We're
responsible for not. Right. Right. So we should never assume anything. I didn't assume my mom would ever come either, after how much we.
She is a stubborn person.
You know that. But see, there you go. For years, you can talk to someone and try to share and coax them. It takes the Holy Spirit to bring them into that point. The seed was planted. It took, what, 9 years, I think it was? It was a long time. And you know when he finally brought her around? When I said, God, I'm so tired of doing that. I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, okay, I guess I have to let go and just forget it and let God do it. And then all of a sudden, ta-da, God did his work. But see, I can't control everything. But I can control at least doing my part. God did the rest.
Imagine that.
Yeah, imagine that.
You can't control everything.
No. Oh, no, but you know what? We are a controlling kind of people, aren't we? Yes. Well, it's just like saying, okay, when we smoked, mm-hmm. How many times? Now, I'm an ex-smoker, thank goodness. Mom was longer than me. But how many times did we try on our own? But we had people say, well, I'll believe when I see it. Yeah, right, you're going to quit. Mm-hmm. You've done this 4 times now. I've heard that story before. But guess what? Ta-da! Delivered! Thank you, Lord. But you know what? It's because we finally let go of, and we can't assume that she's not going to get over, or someone's not going to get over their bondage or their weakness. God's in the habit of delivering people, and we need to realize that to say, hey, here it is. I'm going to give it to you, the opportunity. Okay, number 7. Are we on number 7? Sometimes we don't share the gospel and because we're self-centered. Not sometimes, a lot of times. You know why? Because I had to come and look at my own life and think, I'm so concerned with my own growth and my own spirituality and what God's doing for me that I forget it's not just about me, it's about bringing those into the kingdom. So when it's not all about me and inward, it should go outward. Because we are representatives of Christ. Christ was not self-centered. Because he laid down his life, but he went to all the people. He sat with the tax collectors, talked to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. I mean, go through the whole, you know, we can't not walk in places and look out to other people because we're so consumed with our own welfare. And number 8, which is the last one, we question our own salvation. Well, how can I share the gospel if I'm not even sure I'm saved myself? So that's where we need to be sure of our salvation. We have to understand that if we have accepted Christ and repented of our sins and received him as Lord and Savior, he has saved us and we are saved, right?
Amen.
Okay, that's good. Thank you. So,
there are churches where people have been ministers, officiates in the church, and I've been with them when they're facing their last months, and they say, I hope I go to heaven. I hope I've done enough.
See, that enough, like last week we talked about, enough, not enough.
I've done enough so that God will allow me to get in. I had one guy, mm-hmm. one individual, he said that he's been praying for someone that's in heaven, and he's asking them to open the window in the basement so he can crawl in. And I thought, you don't need to go through the basement window. He said, well, that's the only way I'm going to get in.
But see, we think that's so ridiculous, but people believe that, though. I mean...
Well, he didn't want me to pray because he didn't want me to jinx him.
Oh, my. But there you go. There's the prime example. People that you don't think that would even be that way are still questioning. We should not be questioning. Do any of you fall into any of those categories? I think we all can fall into one of those, at least. And I'm not judging you, but I'm just saying. So, when we are able to recognize how sinful we were apart from God and have that attitude of gratitude for what we have received, it should stir us on all the more to reach out to the hurting and the lost people. And it's a lot of it is going to be by the way we live, how we speak, how we have our conduct. And if we just submit ourselves to the transforming work of the Spirit and follow His ways, God will give us the words at the proper time. He'll give us the courage at the proper time. He will give us the incentive and the urgency, hopefully, more and more in our hearts. So, be Christ's ambassadors. Step out into that whole high calling that He has called us to. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the gift of love, Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for the gift of salvation. And I just pray that You would stir up an urgency in all of us, Lord, as all believers everywhere on the earth, to have that conviction to reach out and walk that walk, take that high calling seriously, and be representatives of You, be Your hands and feet. And Lord, that we would just share the gospel, share to the hurting and the lost, and just bring those into the kingdom that You have called, in Jesus' name. Amen.